glad you're here this morning. Be praying for those that are out. We have several people out traveling and some out there a little bit under the weather. Pray that you'd be praying for them. I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to give you a warning now. Kick off your feet. Get comfortable. Kick off your feet. Kick off your shoes and get comfortable. I have no idea how long I'll be preaching today. I do not have 3 points and a point, but I've got a lot on my heart and a lot in my mind. Made a few notes on paper. So I'm going to divide a little bit of it up by sharing a little bit of thoughts since today is Memorial Day now and get more into it a little bit later so they hopefully will mesh a little more. So before we go to the Lord in prayer and before our choir sings for us, let me say a few comments here. So Luke, originally called Decoration Day, Memorial Day began as a day to decorate the graves of Civil War soldiers with flowers. Over time, this holiday involved all those who have died in service to our country, both during peacetime as well as during wartime. I am grateful, and as I know you are as well, for those who are still serving to defend the freedoms of our country and those that gave their life to do so. Often the passage in John 15:13 is used as a text for Memorial Day, and that text says, "Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Today I would like to do something different, something maybe unusual to some. I would like for us to consider those who have died on the battlefield, those who were martyrs for Christ, and how that should change our approach and religion and our faith today. I refer to the battle of Christianity. Too many Christian soldiers have lost their testimonies because they allow Satan to dupe them. I want to help you. I want to encourage you to stay in the battle, but most importantly, I want to equip you to do so. I want to help you to look for the door when the battle rages. Because the Bible tells us that God always makes a way of escape. I trust you will enjoy the choir music today and the special music. No matter what or where the battle is raging, we do have victory in Jesus. Amen. We must remember that someone died for us that we might have eternal life.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and the joy of fellowship. Now, Father, I pray that you bless our services today as we take some time to honor those who gave their life for the freedom that we have, Lord, and that is in the physical realm. But today, Lord, I would like to step over into the spiritual realm of battle, those that gave their life for their faith, and how we as Christians should be ready and prepared to live our life for our faith and not allow Satan to defeat us, to overcome us, to dupe us, or discourage us from living a life in freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus. We celebrate our freedom to live as people, as citizens, but Father, as Christians, we need to live out the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, a victorious life that we must remember because he died for us that we might live, that we should do our very best. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.
He was a troubled kid in and out of jail. Every day's a gift to me because
Again, thank you so much for your faithfulness of giving of your tithes and offering. The Lord has blessed us here, and looking forward to give you that update about the fellowship hall. The good thing is, isn't it wonderful that God has blessed us enough that we have the money to pay for it too? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for your blessings upon us, a joy of service, a joy of fellowship. Thank you for the privilege of giving. And Father, you have prospered us so much. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be obedient as we give unto thee that which you have entrusted us with. We love you and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry. Just kept on going.
Please join us as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to do something I've never done, gentlemen. I'm going to ask you or tell you how I want you to pray. I've never done this before and may never do it again. But pray as you normally pray, but I'm going to ask you just simply to add this. Ask the Lord to help me to share my heart this morning. I've got some notes, but not an outline. I've got a lot on my heart. If you ever poured a glass of tea or a glass of cold water and got distracted and it just kind of flowed over, that's what my heart's doing today. It's flowing over with joy, but at the same time, it's also flowing over with some pain and some hurt that I have because of what Satan has done and what he's trying to do. So I'm going to just simply ask you as you pray, as you normally pray, but also pray in you as well, pray that God will help me not to be distracted and just keep sharing my heart this morning. All right? Let's pray together. Father, as we come to thy throne this morning, we ask that you'd help us this morning. I am so grateful for the privilege of being the pastor at Harvest Baptist Church. I thank you for the men and young men that you've given us. And Father, I pray that you'd put a hedge about them and protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Guard their hearts, guard their ears, guard their tongue, guard their eyes. And Lord, help them to be everything that you would have them to be, that they might be the leader in their home that you provided for them and the family that you've given them. Father, help them to be the godly example, not just at home, but here at church and the community and where they work. And then, Father, we pray that you would help our ladies. Lord, we are so grateful for our Harvest ladies and for those that are visiting with us today. Would you bless them? Would you encourage them? Help our ladies as they strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman, that they might live for you, serve you as they serve their spouses or serve their church family here together at Harvest. Bless them, encourage them. Father, thank you for so much for those who labor in our children's ministry and our nursery, those who help protecting our facilities, Lord, those who work around the grounds, Lord, to keep our grounds looking nice. Lord, we are so grateful for that volunteer army and those who just want to serve. Father, bless them, help them. And then, Father, I pray that you would help me this morning
that you'd give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Father, we're in a battle, and the battle will continue to rage. And just like so many men and women that I mentioned earlier that gave their life for the freedom that we have in our country, Father, there's also many Christians who became martyrs for protecting our religious freedom, who gave their life and stood for you, even though it meant death, because they loved you more than they loved life. Father, help us to be reminded of those things, and that it might motivate us to live for you, because we don't live in a place, in a land where we'll be martyred for our faith. We might be ridiculed, we might be teased, but Father, we need to be willing to live for you and not allow Satan to distract us, to dupe us, or discourage us. So Father, help us today to put away the cares and concerns of the world today and to tune in for what you have for us from the Word of God today. What you have for us, Father, what you have shared with me in private as I will be sharing in public, that it might stir our hearts, challenge us, encourage us, and maybe even conviction and rebuke where is needed. But Father, may it be taken and understood as coming from a shepherd out of love. Now, Father, bless, we do ask. And then, Father, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. Father, please meet with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message this morning is simply Look for the Door. And if you have your hand out from your bulletin, you see there are no points, just some scripture reference, because most of it I have is on my heart. I wrote down a few things, but no real outline. But I just want to read one passage of scripture before our ladies come sing for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There have no temptation taken you, but which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
He came aside on Calvary.
know I've talked about these, and some of you have seen them in my office. I brought them out this morning as a prop, hopefully to remind me and to remind you as I'm speaking this morning. I'm not mad at anyone. I've asked the Lord to never allow me to step in a pulpit to preach without being mad at anyone except for one person. It's not you, it's Satan. 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, when I became the pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church, after being here a few months, a gentleman invited me out for breakfast. And we spent some time together and we talked, and he had this beautiful bag, and I can't help but to think my curiosity was up. Is that for me or for his wife? And as that bag was there in the seat and we began to talk, he pulled it out and he said, "Pastor, I want to give you a gift. I want you to put it on your desk and I want it to remind you to keep punching." Keep punching is referring to what he was saying is keep preaching. He said, "You have given me some heavy body blows and I've needed every single one of them. Keep it up. Don't quit. Don't back off, but just continue punching away with the word of God as you preach and teach the gospel." So I want to encourage you and remind you again, I have righteous indignation this past week. I still do today. My anger is with Satan, not with any of you. You might do something to make me aggravated, to the word I like to use, to tweak me. But I do my best to remember, it's not you, it's just Satan working through you. It's not you. You probably did not mean to say that. And more likely than not, you'll probably come back later and apologize. And by the way, people have done that, as well as I have. But so just understand today, if I look a little angry, if I look a little upset, it's not at any of you, it's just at Satan. It's just my style of preaching and some things that the Lord has put on my heart that I want to share. As I mentioned, the title of the sermon, and we've read our text, Look for the Door, and I want to kind of take a play off of this, as I mentioned, on our Memorial Day, but look at it more in a spiritual way. And I've got some notes here I'm going to read. I've got some comments I'm going to make. I'm going to be back and forth a little bit. I have no outline. It's impossible to take notes. It will be videoed. It will be online. If you want to scratch a few things down, or if you just want to listen and then later refer to the video for other notes, you're welcome to do that. But from the Roman Empire, the Catholic Church and religious sects slaughtered 70 million Christians who were martyred for their faith since the time of Jesus Christ. Yes, 70 million. The Romans, while generally tolerant of various religions, expected their citizens to acknowledge the supremacy of the Roman gods and, by extension, the emperor's divine status. Christians, with their exclusive beliefs in one God and refusal to worship Roman deities, were seen as a challenge to this order. Oh, to have some Christians that would live that way today. Today, Christians still face persecution and martyrdom in many parts of the world. However, here in America, we can be our own worst enemies. We may not be killing one another, but we are hurting ourselves and others by neglecting our spiritual health and spiritual growth. We are not tending to our spiritual needs. We're not feeding the spiritual man as we should. Some have caused a form of spiritual PTSD or post-traumatic stress because of their lack of empathy and concern for others. We make excuses and say things like, "I'm the victim," but you are the one causing others to hurt because of your own hurt that you have or will not seek biblical counsel. Don't misunderstand me. Yes, we have victims, and some of you may have been victims in the past, but that is not a license to victimize someone else. And I'll throw this in as well. I have been diagnosed with PTSD myself from the VA. So I'm not speaking without understanding what I'm saying this morning as we move along. We need to step out of victimhood and step into victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look for the door of escape. There in our text, it is very clear that God is faithful and that He will make a way of escape in our temptation. Look for the door. Let me illustrate with an example of military training and the results of PTSD that many of our military struggle with today. It's called hypervigilance. I will give the example of myself, and some of you will know what I'm talking about. Feel free to say amen if you're not ashamed. But the first time that I came to this church, one of the very first times, if not the first time, auditorium, the first place I looked for is the door of escape. There's one there, and there's one right over there. There's one backside of the nursery. Come on, veterans, you with me? You go somewhere new, somewhere different, you look for the way out. I sit in a corner where I can see everyone else in the restaurant or in the building. I have my back to the wall when I can't. There's at times it's not as bad because I'm with other veterans or others that I trust or I know where the area is, and I already scan the places I walk in. You watch. You won't see me walk into a new building or another building where I'm not scanning the places I walk in because I've never been there before. It's called hypervigilance. We need some of that in our Christianity as well. Veterans do this. Police officers, first responders, and others that have been involved in combat and war do this out of self-protection and self-preservation to make sure they know and to make sure their family and those they are with are safe. But you know, there are some of those things that people do like that, that it's natural. They do it because that's their vigilance of protection. Personally, I have no problem with that. Here's what I have a problem with. Why aren't many more Christians doing the same thing to protect their spiritual life? Gentlemen, where's the door? Where's the way of escape when you're tempted? Ladies, where's the way of escape when things aren't comfortable? You're seeing things, you're concerned that the devil may slip in or cause a problem. Where's the door? Where's the way of escape? Yeah, if we have a fire drill today, we know that, hey, there's an exit right here. There's one right here. There's one as you first came in. There's one on the other side of the nursery. And for some of y'all big enough, you'll make one right between those windows if you need to. The point I make is, gentlemen, are we as vigilant, hypervigilant, about our physical needs or our mental health? See, we have a lot of people that went on before us since the time of Christ. Let that sink in. 70 million or more Christians were killed because of their faith since the time of Christ was here on earth. Some of them were killed by other religious groups. Some their very own religious group that they were involved in. All because of their faith and what they stood for. And if they are willing to stand for those things, should we not be willing to live for those things as well? After all, we have the religious freedom. We have the privilege and the opportunity to live in a land where we can express our faith. We can bow our heads and pray and ask God's blessing and protection at wherever we may be. So how can we apply this to our spiritual walk in preparation for spiritual battle? A big problem is that we want to do things our way, and because we do things our way, we have messed things up. We have destroyed God's masterpiece and God's plan to help us. Things have changed through the years. We've gotten comfortable with entertainment. We've gotten comfortable with leisure and the things we have. And don't misunderstand. They're there to enjoy, but they should not dictate or control our life. We have destroyed, again, God's masterpiece. Every time you say a hateful phrase, my friend, or physically hurt another believer, do you realize you're attacking a child of God? Now, I'm talking mostly to believers this morning. Hopefully we'll pull in a little bit later for those that may not be a Christian or know the Lord. But do we must remind ourselves when we go into some type of spiritual battle or self-preservation as we think we're just attacking another child of God? We tend to be too busy criticizing others and their families for their sinful life instead of tending to our own spiritual sinful condition that we have. When will we decide to not be satisfied with the status quo of being and begin to focus on our spiritual health and where our help comes from? In other words, look for the door. When Satan comes his way and when he tempts you, it challenges you, puts something in front of you, causes you to think somewhere where you should not be, look for the door. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. In other words, he's provided an exit door. Just look for it. We're willing to do that as men on the physical end, being hyper-vigilant. But what about the spiritual needs? There are so many Christians today that have a form, and I really almost hate to correlate this, but that sense of spiritual PTSD, in a sense that they've been victimized by other believers. They've been victimized by the world or some sort. But instead of becoming and remaining the victim, we need to realize that, hey, this is heavy, but God has promised me not to put anything on me that I cannot bear. He's promised to make a way of escape. He's promised to help deliver us. I'm going to throw a commercial in here and I'll be right back. But I'm considering and I'm working on some other messages that traditionally many churches and pastors would preach on a Sunday night or Wednesday night. Step away like today from 1 John chapter 3 for a week or two, maybe 3 weeks, and preach on another topic. I did not want to do this. I have wrestled with the Lord. But I'm convinced this is what the Lord wants me to do. Let me take a quick survey so we get back to our message. And I want you to be honest. Have you ever been taught in church, in Sunday school, through the preaching of some type, or discipled of what you can expect and how you should treat your pastor? Would you raise your hand? Very few. No, the Bible tells us what you should expect from me as your pastor and your shepherd. But there's also some things that I should be able to expect from you as my congregation. You know, congregants this morning made comment and excited about the church and it's growing and things are going well, but also in the same time asking how I was. Because he said, as our church grows, your job gets bigger. As our church grows, your job gets more stressful. So I'll just say this and we'll get back to the message. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need your encouragement. I need you to come alongside of me because as you know, if you've ever been a parent and you pour your life into your children, and we've had those times, we've gone through times, and I'll tell you now, it was no picnic raising 3 teenage girls and having 2 of them in the house at the same time. It was no picnic, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. At times it was very difficult, but we made it through. I lived and they lived. There was some grounding, and I even was off of hinges. I had all types of different punishments to get their attention or to help them. But what about us in our spiritual life? God has put people in your life as well as mine to help us, to shepherd us, to encourage us, from pastors to mentors. But we need to be careful as we look for the door of escape and we go through the door. Might I tell you and help you with something? Your peer is not your door of escape. What's that king's name again? Rehoboam? Rehoboam? Made a horrible mistake. Coming in after his father, who ruled the kingdom, as a young king, instead of using all the wise men that had been provided to them, he decided to get all of his counsel from his friends and from his peers, and he destroyed the kingdom. God has put people in your life, and as kind as I know how to say, most of your friends are stupid spiritually. Yes, whoops, that's a word I'm not supposed to say around kids. I'm sorry. They are not educated. They are not equipped. They are not prepared. They are not seasoned. They are not experienced. And if we're not careful, we respond with emotions. And as we look for the door of escape, those doors should lead to the leading of God and the Holy Spirit and to those that God has put in your life that are spiritually mature and can help you and encourage you. And I will go as far as to say, start with your family. Why go anywhere else? Come on. I mean, I'm here for a reason. And if I'm not doing a good job, vote me out. Please don't take that the wrong way. I'm just going to say this. You're not my source. God is my source. God will provide my needs. I have no plans of going anywhere but up when the Lord decides to take me home or ba-dum, ba-dum, the trump sounds. I've got no plans of doing anything else. But I want to do my job. I want to do my job well. Gentlemen, some of you that are a little bit older that have retired, how hard was it when you first retired? You still wanted to do the job. You still look. You're used to that leadership. And it's even worse when you're on the job and everybody avoids you. When you're in a position to serve, to help, to do the job, but yet you're never asked to do the job. See, I don't know what I don't know until I know it. In the same way with you. God has equipped and provided people and put them in your life. And I'll be the first one to tell you, if you come to me for counseling, I can't help you. I'll tell you, boy, that's above my pay grade. But I'll tell you what, I know somebody that can help. Give me 24 hours, give me 48 hours, and I will find someone that will go along that will line up with our biblical beliefs that will be able to help you. Because I don't know everything, but I know a lot. And God has shared with me and given me some things, and I have experience in many areas, and some by trial and error. You know, like it was when you parented. Child, the last two children enjoyed life a little more than the first two. Amen. We need to look for the door. See, we are in a spiritual battle, and we are not taking it seriously. There are casualties that some of us have caused ourselves, even though we are casualties. Why? Because we did not look for the door. We are casualties. We are hurting because we did not look for the door. We did not look for a way of escape. We did not look for help that God wants to provide. Satan uses us to harm, hurt, discourage, and even to destroy one another if we're not careful. Hey, I'll be honest. I think I've said this before. Some of my biggest hurt I've ever had has been church hurt. It's been by other believers, other pastors. It's wrong. However, I can win it. I can say, woe is me. Or I can look for the door. I can look for some biblical counseling and encouragement. I can brush it off and go my way and keep going. Here's what happens with some of us. This is absolutely free. Not even in my notes. Just came to me. You're at the plate in baseball. You're a little bit afraid because there's that pitcher that throws 102 miles an hour. And you know you don't want to crowd the plate, but you want to get in there and get ready, and Lord willing, he'll want to get a strike on the first pitch, so I'm just going to swing at the first one. And you get up there, and there's a dust off. I mean, he's placed chin music right under your chin, and you back off to the plate. You do, here's one or two things that takes place. You step back and you brush it off and get ready for the next pitch. Or you charge the mound. I don't know why they do that. I was never taught that growing up playing ball. And that's a reaction without stepping back. Whew, man, that was close. And get ready for the next pitch. Sometimes you just need to step back when another believer says something that's not really nice. Sometimes you just need to step back when they do something maybe they shouldn't do, or maybe they normally would not have done, but maybe they're a little bit out of their spiritual mind. But whatever the case is, but sometimes instead we charge the mound. We respond. We lash out. Instead, we should be stepping back and looking for the door, a way of escape, and not to escalate the situation. In life, so many of us are vigilant because of our first responders and military careers of the past. Some of us continue to be maybe hyper-vigilant when maybe we don't need to be as much, but it's still a safety zone. I wish more Christian soldiers was a little more vigilant in their walk and the relationship with the Lord. Dear friends, again, we are in a spiritual battle. A decision in the right spiritual direction can revive us and maybe bring revival back to our country, back to our countrymen. A revival that can bring healing and restoration to believers that are hurting, that are defeated, and even those that feel betrayed by those close to them. See, do we care enough to change? To make an effort toward God and His righteousness? If so, look for the door. If you're going somewhere that you know that is a temptation for you, that you know that it could be a problem for you, then you better look for the door on step one or just don't go. There's another door. Just don't put yourself in that position. It begins with self. You, individually, as well as corporately, must make the decision to allow God to make the necessary changes in your life. We'll talk more about that this afternoon with God's chisel. But will you allow God to make the necessary changes? Will you look for the doors of escape and say, Lord, help me, mold me, protect me, help me to be everything that I need to be? You must make the decision to allow God to make the necessary changes in your life. Start by looking for the door when Satan shows up. There are just some people that rub us the wrong way. I'm just... Come on now, don't be offended. There are some people in our life that tend to rub us the wrong way. Some of it may be their fault, but you know, some of it could be my fault. Some of it could be maybe I should have went to them the first time they rubbed me the wrong way, instead of waiting till 4, 5, and 6 times and maybe you snap back or respond in a way that you should not. If we are believers and we are followers of Christ, and He promises to make a way of escape, and He reminds us that He is faithful to do so, why are we not for the way? Why are we not looking for the door that He's promised? You see, God always makes a way of escape. Again, the Bible is very clear. I've got a few verses here that I'm going to share with you. They're probably on the back of your bulletin. I'll go through them quickly as we come close to an end. I say close because I don't know. I don't have an outline. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation. Might want to circle that and ponder on that. No temptation taken to you, but is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above. He didn't say He wouldn't suffer you to be tempted. He wouldn't suffer you to be tempted above. Above that which you are able. In other words, He knows you can handle it. But here's the problem when we don't handle it. It's not God's fault. It's our fault because we didn't look for the door that He provided. The door is there. All we have to do is to look for it. But with the temptation also make a way of escape that you're able to bear it. Yes, it's heavy. Yes, it's hard. Yes, you hurt at times. Yes, maybe even angry and overwhelmed. But He says, you got this. There's a way of escape. There's a way to canceling. There's a way to encouragement. There's a way to help you through this heavy burden that you are carrying. Let's look at it in another way. Secular versus spiritual. If it has been effective with our military and our first responders, I'll stick to the VA because I know a little bit of something about how they do things. If it's been effective for them to encourage you and to let you know there's nothing wrong with being hypervigilant, that it's okay to look for certain situations because that's part of you because of some of your past, which you've seen. Just be careful that as you do that you're not hyper in the sense that you overreact. In other words, sometimes we might need to take a deep breath. I shared with you before, there are times in our marriage and through our life that I have bruises on my shins. And that's when I become a little bit over hyper than I need to be or over concerned, where I get a kick in the shins from my wife under the table. She's saying, it's okay, take it down a notch. Everything's going to be okay, just step back and dust off because you've got this. It's not to hurt me, it's to remind me, I've got this. Use that in a physical realm, and it helps our veterans. It helps those with post-traumatic stress to handle the situation they're with and learn to cope with things where they come to the point after a period of time, the first thing they do when they walk in the building is not looking again, remembering, make sure the doors are still there, but now they're comfortable enough with those that are around them in a situation they're okay with where they're at. Should we not be able to apply that in a spiritual sense and remind ourselves above all things that God has provided a door in everywhere that we go. Every circumstance that we're in, every situation that we find ourselves, whether it be victimized, whether it be hurt, whether it be discouraged, He says, I have made a way. And that way of escape can be a multitude, a plethora of things, not just a way to run and get out of here, but it may be a way of escape to a friend, to a pastor, to a pastor's wife that says, we've got this. They're not going to leave you high and dry. We walk through it together, and we're going to be secure. Kind of compare it this way. When our kids went to a four-way stop there at that time that we lived in Kishinoa, a city of just over 800,000 people, they didn't have the little push buttons where you could cross the walk. There was great danger in crossing the street in Eastern Europe in some cities. But every time we got one, we made sure we had the kids' hands. We wanted to make sure they were secure and safe. And we walked through a sketchy area of town somewhere, and we're walking together, and we're already holding hands because Michelle and I hold hands a lot. I'll feel a little bit of a squeeze. That tells me she's a little afraid. And then I just give her a little squeeze back to remind her, we've got this. God wants to do the same thing for us. Just remind yourself, as we look for the way of escape, that God whispers to your spirit and your heart, if you'll listen to him, we've got this. I've not only made a way of escape for you, I've got someone that I put in your life to help you. I've got someone that has been through what you've been through, that have experienced what you've experienced, and they're going to help you walk through this valley and come out on the other side. You might be singed a little bit, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it through. But see, that's only going to happen if we look for the door. We look for the way of escape that God has provided for us. Psalm 139 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 171, 2. By the way, the word way or door is over 600, almost 700 times in the Bible. And I read every single one of them and narrowed it down. Say amen to these. Psalm 139, verse 24. And see if there be, 71, verse 2. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Proverbs 15, 19. The way of the slothful man is in a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Psalm 27 and verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Dear friends, I am here to help you. God gave you a pastor. God gave you church leadership, a shepherd to protect you, to encourage you, to warn you, and sometimes even to rebuke you. You think that parenting is hard? Try being a shepherd to stubborn sheep. I don't know how to compare them to them other than teenagers. How many of y'all raised teenagers? Boy, wasn't that a picnic? Yeah. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not so great. Sometimes you want to pull your hair out. And sometimes you want to take every door off the hinges in the whole house. Yeah. But you know, those are called growing pains. Those are called young people learning to cope with things that they don't know how to cope with, that they have never been for. And so often young people, takes a while for them to learn that mom and dad is just not my mom and dad. They're my protector, my provider. They're better than the friends that I have in my life because they have my best interests out for me. And sometimes we may be raised in a home where we don't have godly or Christian friends. Sometimes we may have went through life and not had that and got saved later in life. That does not change in your new life as a believer that God puts people in your life. And by the way, sometimes you're the one that God puts in someone else's life. Sometimes you're the one that has to make a decision. Hey, I love you. I will pray for you. I can help you. Or you may say, I love you enough to tell you, you need to talk to Pastor. You need to talk to Pastor. You need to go to him. You need to go to Miss Michelle. You need to let them help you to find the counsel you need, whether it be with them or someone they know that can help you. Because we have a tendency to be concerned about, well, I don't want Pastor to know. I'm not sure about that. I'll promise you this. You're not going to tell me nothing I probably haven't already heard. Being in the ministry and being involved this long, friends, I've heard it all. Been through things that I almost got put in prison on a mental health facility in German on the German economy because of going to bat for one of my church members who was hospitalized, American, in a German hospital. I mean, Another minute, they probably would have arrested me. I was doing my best to get them out of somewhere they should not be because they were not getting biblical counseling. They were trying to be given drugs and other things before any type of counsel whatsoever. What I'm saying is I've seen a lot. I've been through a lot. And I don't have all the answers, and I'm not afraid to say I don't know. But I have a lot of resources of those who know where to go and where to get good, godly, biblical help. So as we close this morning, Miss Marlene, if you'll come to the piano. The next time Satan comes his way, why not look for the door? The next time, instead of lashing out, why not just look for the door? And if you happen to lash out, you happen to do something that you should not have done, why not still escape to the door? Though it may be a day late and a dollar short, go ahead and get to the door anyway. Get the counsel you need and make it right for those that you've offended. Here's the problem is today, we've got so many people today that have victimized others and they have not dealt with it biblically and they find themselves victimizing others because of what's been done to them. And it all could have been stopped if they would just look for the door and getting the biblical counseling that they need, getting the guidance and support that they need to keep them from repeating something that happened to them. Yes, we live in a wicked world. Yes, I want to give you a little fear if I can, because it's that serious. No, I'm not mad at anyone. I'm boxing with Satan. In fact, over the last couple of days, it hasn't been boxing, it's been brawling. I feel a little beat up spiritually, but I found the door in the process. I was reminded, and the Lord reminded me that I'm equipped to do and to help those who He's put under my ministry. He's reminded me that I'm equipped. He's reminded me that if I'm not fully confident, there's other sources that I can seek to help those who are under my ministry. So again, it comes all back to this. Are you going to use the doors, the way of escape that God will put in your life under every circumstance and situation? It may be late. It may be something that you should have done years ago, but why put it off another day? The door's still there. The help is still there. And God does put people in our life. And I'll go as far to say this, and I hope nobody gets mad at me. But if you don't trust your pastor, why are you here? Please don't be offended. But if you don't trust your pastor, one of us probably should go or get right, either you or me. And I don't think God wants me to go anywhere, but I'm willing. We've got plenty of suitcases. Well, no, I already told you that. I ain't going nowhere. What I'm saying is, talk to the Lord. Look for the way of escape. Take advantage of what God puts in your life. Get plugged into a church where you're comfortable, where you'll be fed, and where you know I have confidence in the pastor who's there to shepherd me, to love me and my family, and to help us in the time of need, tragedy, or whatever that I'm going for through. He promises, and He says He is faithful to do it. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and our pianist is playing. God has spoken to your heart in any shape, form, or fashion. It could be nothing related to sin, victimhood, or anything. Just God has just really worked on me today about me looking for the door, about being a little more vigilant spiritually. Whatever it may be, if God has spoken to your heart, why not talk to God today? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. You know the hearts. Father, you know my heart. And I pray that you'd work in the hearts and lives of your people that are present here this morning. Those that may listen via the internet somewhere down the line and in the future. But that they would look for the door of opportunity that our faithful God has given us for a way of escape, a way of help, a way of counsel, a way of encouragement, and a way of help through the trials, the tribulations, the tragedies that we go through. Father, work now during this time in Jesus' name. Piano's still playing, heads are still bowed, and God has spoken to your heart. There's some at the altar, others may need to come. Or whether you stand, you do business with the Lord. Don't be bashful. Don't worry about what anyone else may think or say. You be concerned about what God wants you to do. See, that is your primary concern, is what God wants. No one else. Not anyone beside you, behind you, in front of you, but what God is speaking to you about. Some of you need to be more prepared and willing to be a mentor, a counselor, to be a way, a source that Christians need when they step through the door of escape. Some of you maybe need to go to those that you've offended, that you know that you've wronged, and ask for forgiveness. And ask them not only to forgive you, but, hey, why not join me as I'm heading to the way of escape? I'm heading to the door. I'm going to talk to Pastor. I'm going to talk to Miss Michelle. I'm not fighting this battle any longer by myself. I'm going to the source that can help me, encourage me, strengthen me, and help me through my tragedy, to help me through the stress, the battle that I'm having in my life. Because, my friend, there's no need to battle alone. There's no need to do it on your own. Because God is faithful, and He has made a way. So why not depend upon Him, lean on Him, and allow Him to help you find your way and seek help in that time. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. Don't look at your clock, but it's late. It's okay. Nobody, I don't think, upset, but I trust you. I was a help and a blessing to you. We're having our cookout this afternoon. I'm going to be here. I probably will not sit down unless you ask me to. If you want to talk, want to know more about the church, want to line up an appointment to talk with me or Miss Michelle, or ask any questions you have about our church, about the ministry, if you're visiting with us, I want to encourage you to stay and enjoy a hamburger and a hot dog and some food that we have here. Join us for the afternoon service. Again, it will be abbreviated. I know it will be a long day, but you'll be free the rest of the day. But I want to be help and encouragement. I want to remind you that I am available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If I don't answer my phone, you leave a message and you send a text. Because I might be sleeping, I might be canceling someone else, I might be visiting with someone. But as soon as I get that, I will respond. And in fact, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I mean this. If it is 2 o'clock in the morning, you call me if you need me. Now, don't call me to ask me if I want to go fishing in the morning. But if you need me, you call. And if I don't answer, if you'll hang up and call right back, my phone will ring. I think I have everyone in here on my phone book, and you're marked as a favorite. And if not, I'll get it fixed if I don't have it. But if you'll call back the second time, my phone will ring. And if you need me, I will be there for you. That's my job. That's what a shepherd does. So I'm going to beg of you and ask you, let me be your shepherd. Allow me to love you, to pastor you, to help you, to show you the way of escape, to walk through that way with you. So you don't have to do it alone. I'm going to make my way to the back again. I'm looking forward to a time of fellowship. I'll raise my voice, make an announcement. Then we start cleaning up a little bit, and we'll head back over to the auditorium. Again, it'll be 40, 45-minute service. It won't be long, but it will be beneficial, I promise. And there will be an update on the fellowship hall as well. I'm going to make my way to the back. Brother Leonard, if you would lift your voice and pray and ask God's blessings as we dismiss. And the food, please.